Okay, it's 10 o'clock, time to start. Good morning, this is Kim Grahn, CEO of Nokian Tyres. I'm pleased to welcome you again to this conference on Nokian Tyres' first quarter results. And as usual, here in Helsinki, we have analysts, investors, bankers, and some media present, and hopefully a lot of people also attending through the web and phone. The presentation has been published this morning on our website and is available there. When going through the presentation, I'll mention the page or pages which we are discussing or presenting here. In the presentation, I'll first go through a short summary of the results and the market situation, and then move on to our profit centers and business areas, and of course, talk about Russia, the market situation and the market outlook as we see it today. And after the presentation, we will have a normal Q&A session with people here in Helsinki first, given a chance to ask questions, and then we move on to the phone lines. And in the presentation on page 28, for those attending through web and phone, there are instructions on how to get through with your questions. There have been some problems in the past. Let's move on then to page 3, where we have a summary of the first quarter and also some words about the market and the guidance. Q1, of course, for Nokian Tyres is not the decisive one. It's always the weakest quarter of the year. But having said that, we had a quite good start this year compared to last year, driven by the fact that markets improved more or less in line with our expectations. And as we told before, there was a quite low inventory level going into this year, which helped to start some of pre-season sales already in the Russian CIS market. The winter on most European markets were prolonged, and also the general market started to improve compared to what we saw in 2009. Some of the drivers, car sales went up quite significantly and has continued to do so in the Nordic countries. We had the car sales improving by 28% and in the European scene by 10%, which is, of course, a driver for replacement tire, especially winter tires. The tire markets improved in the Nordic countries by in the ballpark 4 to 5% compared to the previous year, talking about volumes, and in Europe by slightly more than 9%. And we expect this to continue also during Q2 and in our core markets also during the full year. Of course, the European economy and the recovery is clouded by shadows in the south, which is a risk in itself, but we don't expect that to have a big impact on those markets in which we operate. So talking about the results, we had an increase of 18% in top line, which resulted in a significantly better operating result. We made about 24 million more in EBIT and about 39.5 million more in pre-tax profit than during last year. And our manufacturing operation showed a very healthy EBIT as a consolidation. We made in the ballpark of 20% EBIT in manufacturing, which was then on a group level taken down a bit by Vianor and the results of that during the first quarter. So we will then move on further and to comments on how we see the future by quarters. Also on page 7, there is the traditional like graph on how we do operating result or EBIT during quarters. We had a good improvement during the first quarter, and as usual, we will then increase the EBIT when moving forward. We expect the Q2 also to continue to improve in terms of sales, our order book, and the situation on the market is quite promising. We've had a good start for Q2, and our order books are improving, continuing to improve. And then actually, they are significant. Our orders are significantly up compared to previous year in all our product categories. So there is a good chance that we will be able to improve sales on all the markets in which we operate. And the distribution quarter to quarter is, of course, very difficult to predict today, as it will depend very much on when pre-season sales on different markets are timed in. But normally during Q2, we would be serving the Central European market and Russia to some extent, and also North America, also selling this time quite a lot of summer tires as the summer tire season has been moved to Q2. In Q3, we traditionally fill the distribution in the Nordic market and continue to do sales in Russia. And then in the fourth quarter, of course, depending on when the season kicks in, we will have the true payday of the group. Traditionally, our EBIT has been in the ballpark, the share of the EBIT during the first half of the year has been between 25% and 45%, and then more during the second half. And of course, last year was quite extraordinary year as we had a very weak beginning of the year. So I would say that we will move back closer to the distribution of profits which we had before the crisis started. So perhaps in the ballpark of 35% to 40% of EBIT made during the first half of the year, and then the rest during Q3 and Q4. But time will tell how that will move and how we then get things shipped. One thing that we are doing at the moment on the back of improved order book is increasing the utilization of capacity, both in passenger car business and also in heavy tires. So in heavy tires, we are increasing the utilization in Finland by adding two shifts. We are partly back already to 7 days working. And in passenger car tires, we are already starting to utilize the seventh line in Russia and looking at the installation of the eighth line later during this year. So utilization and daily capacities are being ramped up, as we expect that we will need to improve and increase our inventories before the season. They are actually on a quite low level at the moment compared to the orders. Okay, then moving to slide number 8, where we have the traditional pie on the allocation of sales. And on this chart, you can see that we have increased our sales in the Nordic region by more than 20%, in Russia by 43%, and in Eastern Europe by more than 30%. Finland, Sweden, and Norway, as I stated, are growing on the back of economy improving, but also car sales. Our sales in Finland have improved compared to last year by double digits, and in Sweden and Norway by more than 25% compared to the previous year. And as I said, we've increased also market shares on all these markets. Then some discussion on raw materials, which have been increasing quite dramatically. We have a slide on page 9 giving a summary of the situation. We gave already before the AGM information and a forecast that our annual raw material cost will increase by between 10% and 12%, on the back of natural rubber and also all other raw materials going up quite significantly compared to last year. Natural rubber prices have more than doubled since mid last year and showed an upward trend until about 2 or 3 days ago when there was a sharp turn in natural rubber prices going down. So at the moment it's a bit difficult to see how the full effect of that will be. But anyway, with a 10 to 12% raw material cost increase, we need in the ballpark of 3 to 4% improvement in ASP to maintain the material margin. Of the growth of the 18% which we achieved during the beginning of the year, roughly 80% related to volume and roughly 20% to ASP, which means that our ASP improved a little bit during the beginning, first quarter, and we need to do additional mix improvement and also price increases in order to achieve the roughly 3 to 4% which we have to do in order to compensate for the raw materials. The action plan is that we are increasing our passenger car tire prices by between 2 and 4%. We have a price increase already announced to our customers for summer tires from 1st of July, which is from 4 to 5%. And in winter tires, depending on market and product, increases are in local currencies from 0 to 5%. We have not increased prices in Russia as the currency have taken care of that. And also Scandinavian markets are more difficult to increase. Fortunately, we are being helped by the currency change, which is improving the situation. Also, heavy tires we are pushing for a price increase of between 4 and 6% in all our product categories in July this year. Other things which we are doing is we have a lightweighting project going on in the factory with a target of reaching a 10% reduction in weight, in average weight of a tire per dimension by the end of this year. And we started this process mid last year, and we have to date achieved roughly half of that target by looking at the components and the structures of the tires. Okay, that's perhaps enough said about raw materials and how we see that. Then we move on to some comments and forecast by business unit and segment. First to passenger car tires on page 12. Of course, we have already mainly been talking about that, so I won't repeat everything that I already said. The results of the first quarter was we had a top line growth of 18.5% compared to last year, with healthy growth, especially in Russia, driving it, an EBIT margin which more than, or EBIT in absolute term, more than doubled compared to last year, and we came up to an EBIT margin of more than 25% again during the beginning of the year. It's of course still far away from all-time high, which we had at the beginning of 2008 of 34%, but we are heading in the right direction, and I think that there is still room to improve this ratio also during the years to come when going forward. The target for this year is to continue the growth and the good trend which we had during the first quarter and to provide a healthy EBIT and cash flow compared to an EBIT improvement and healthy cash flow during this year. I'll talk about Russia in a moment, so please wait for that, and we'll move on to heavy tires for a moment, which have also on page 13 showed a quite good improvement, a 34% top line growth, and an improvement in EBIT, going back to an EBIT margin of roughly 23%, which is close to all-time high, which we had end of 2007 of 24.8%. The improvement is due to the point that the break-even point of the operation have been reduced dramatically through productivity issues and restructuring. The top line improved quite a lot and is still improving. We have a significantly better order book at the moment, driven, of course, by the core product group, forestry tires, and then forestry machine building, which is improving quite dramatically. I won't mention the name of the company, but one of the biggest machine builders who used to build in the ballpark of 1,500 machines a year, made last year less than 300, and are estimating to make in the ballpark of 900 machines during this year. And of course, that is a good driver for our improvement. Other things which we are doing at the moment is expanding our network of distribution, and we've started building the so-called heavy tire service centers under the Vianor flag. We have the first one installed in Germany. We are looking to do the same in Ukraine and Russia, and also during this year to hopefully have the first service center in heavy tires established in China. So perhaps that's enough about heavy tires. We can come back to that. Truck tires on page 14, I normally don't comment, but as we had a quite good growth there as well, and the market is kicking back on our normal markets, I'll mention it. We show quite healthy growth, more than 40% top line growth. This business is small, but also showing double-digit EBIT margins. And also supporting the group and the Vianor structure building, we have in the ballpark of 20 heavy tire truck service centers established, and that network is expanding also quite rapidly. Then moving to Vianor, and again, I would like to remind you about a couple of things for those who haven't heard the story before, that Vianor is the spearhead of building retail and distribution, our core markets. And due to the structure of the business, we have like a very variable result during different quarters. First quarter is always heavily negative. Second quarter, we make money. Third quarter is break even, if we are lucky, and fourth quarter is quite healthy profits. And this pattern is still in place. We made a loss during the first quarter, in line with our own estimates and also last year, and we expect this year to make a positive EBIT and also a positive net cash flow in the operation. The network expanded by 19 outlets or shops in the first quarter, and we have continued also in Q2 to expand. I just got some unofficial news from Sweden 2 days ago that 12 new partner franchises have joined the bandwagon in April, and will be flagging under that flag. So the building of the structure continues, and I'm very confident that we'll be reaching the 700 shops, which is the target for full year before the end of the year. On page 16, there is a map of where we are heading at the moment and the situation. And we have, as I said, growth estimated for all the different core markets when we're looking at the network. Then a couple of words about Russia. The first point is that it would seem, as we stated in our also stock release, that the tide has turned. The Russian economy seems to be improving and is improving on the back of higher oil prices. The GDP, which showed some increase end of last year, has not increased during the first quarter that much. actually only roughly 1%, but the last 2 months, March, almost 5% improvement in GDP, and the economy heading in the right direction with interest rates coming down. The most important point from our point of view is that the confidence of distribution and retailers and also car dealers seems to be coming back, which means that the restocking of the low inventories, which we estimated that would start, have also started, which is really the background to improved sales in the Russian market. We had quite good summer tire sales and improved market share, but the growth is more than anything relating to winter tire sales during the prolonged winter, and also the distributors starting to restock and build for the next season. In the CIS, which means Ukraine and Kazakhstan, there was quite a lot of carryover stock from previous year, and that is why we have timed our shipments later this year, and there was very little growth during the first quarter of this year. The network of distribution is continuing to grow. We had 9 Vianors more in Russia during the first quarter. The factory has been operating 6 lines, and based on the improved demand, we are now starting to man. We have already been using the 7th line partly, and we are now starting to fully man the line so that it will be operational for the second half. And we all also started already the installation of the 8th line, which have been in crates, and we estimate that the installation is going to be completed before end of this year, which gives us an opportunity to man also the 8th line by end of the year or beginning of the year. Of course, we need to be convinced at that point that the market recovery is really like accelerating and improving. We have also space for 2 additional lines, lines 9 and 10, and presently they are penciled in to be installed during 2011. But of course, time will tell whether the market recovery allows us to do that. There are then on page 21, 22, and 23 more information about the market in general. I already stated that the GDP and the consumer confidence is improving. Of course, a strong ruble helps, and oil price that at the moment, and also our situation. Car sales also, I already commented that it has come down during the beginning of the first or during the first quarter. Actually, we believe that the turn of car sales was in March, when the car sales improved by roughly 36% compared to February. It was, of course, partly driven by this pro cash for clunkers program, which favored more than anything Russian-made cars, and especially Russian brands, because it included only certain brands initially. Now, during last couple of weeks, also Western brands like Volkswagen and Renault have been included in the program. I don't believe that this will be the true driver for car sales expanding. A more important weak sign is that car manufacturers have started to finance consumer business again. For instance, Skoda is now offering cars to consumers with zero interest and practically no collateral. Obviously, the car is the collateral. So that is the first sign of Western-like financing kicking back into car sales, which would then be helping to sell winter tires. When talking about tire business, of course, for winter tires, car sales have been decisive. One surprise for us has been that the replacement market, which we expected to be growing perhaps later, a little bit during this year, and also then in 2011, seems to be stronger than we expected. So the replacement market for Western tires, for Western cars, seems to be on a higher level than we expected for this year. So cars which were sold in 2007, 2008, and 2006 seem to be now starting to buy tires again. And that has been a slight positive surprise for us. Okay, there are many different like projections on how the business will develop, and this is one of them. It could be worse if oil prices go down or we mess it up in Europe, or it could be significantly better and faster if the economy recovers better than and the financing of cars comes back. As a summary, before going to Q&A, I would like to just state that the tide has turned. There are still dark clouds. Our order book is improving on the back of recovering markets on our core markets. We have been able to improve not only our sales but also our market shares on the most significant core markets in which we operate. So basically the game plan which we had of refilling the inventory levels of distribution, growing more on our core markets where we have better pricing and market position seems to be intact, and it means that we have to also increase the utilization of the capacity which we have today, which in itself should improve productivity and results as we go forward. The risk element, of course, we have two. One is the raw material and whether the industry, which is pushing for price increases on all markets, is going to stick. And then secondly, how like this financing mess in Europe is cleaned out. Okay, I will stop here and we'll move to Q&A. And here in Helsinki, we will give the audience an opportunity to ask first. And if you please would state your name and the company name before asking the question. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is Tom Skogman from Handelsbanken. Just on the pricing and the planned price increases, in your calculations or guidance, how much do you calculate the currencies of this guidance of price increases? So how big part is coming just from currency?
No, the price increases which I mentioned are in currencies, local currencies.
Antti Karasson from Asia. Just continuing on the pricing. What is your given the mentioned increase in mix as well as currencies and the possible price increases coming through? What would be your total assumption for ASP increase for the full year?
It's a very good question, but as we have not like written it down in our stock release, unfortunately, you have to figure it out yourself based on the information I have given. And to be quite honest, it is very difficult exactly to state what it is. What I said is that of the top line growth so far, 80% was volume. I also stated that we need a 4% increase in order to maintain material margin. Time will tell how the market goes forward and how well the price increases on different markets which have been announced by our competitors stick. In the past, you could perhaps state that if you announce something, normally half of that sticks. But we'll have to see.
If I may continue on the winter tire pricing, what sort of you mentioned that the pricing environment is more tough there. What is that based on, and what sort of announcement or actions have you seen from your competition?
Well, there has been, if we first take the second part of the question, there has been already quite a lot of announcements for price increases in Central Europe by let's say the major global players. In Scandinavia, there has been less increases in pricing in Sweden and Norway due to the fact that the currencies have strengthened, but the net effect seems to be positive. In Finland, there seems to be like increases going through. In Russia, there seems to be increases by those who were having a price war. The Far East and the Japanese companies have increased prices quite significantly, which of course stabilizes the market a bit, whereas the Western producers have either stood still or made small reductions in ruble prices.
Thank you.
Sansuri Stamäki from Carnegie. Of your volume growth in the first quarter, how much is the change in the underlying kind of sell-through, and how much do you think is sell-in, or in other words, what is the effect of pipeline fill here?
How much of that? I haven't calculated it, so I would have to do it in my head. There is some like refill of the pipeline, as we all also stated. And that relates perhaps more than anything to Russia. There was a heavy long winter, and most of the winter tires were refilling the inventory, which were very low. And also the fact that the Russian distributors had access to finance again. If we compare the situation this year compared to last year with our distributors, we have 35 official area distributors. And when we went into last year, first quarter, only 13 of them were actually having open credit, and the rest was on cash or payment programs. This year, all 35 are all back to balance and being financed and can act normally, which means also for us normal business. In the Scandinavian scene, of course, there is practically no fill up of inventory in winter tires. There's been some fill up of summer tires because the summer season was delayed to the second quarter, the consumer business.
Okay. Then second question on the other CIS markets. Mm-hmm. You have an 80% drop in revenues, and is this really all due to kind of a shift in the timing of shipments, or what would you expect to be the full year type of change here?
I would say that I would be very positively surprised if we on those markets reach this year same sales as we had last year, as there is some carryover inventory from last year.
Okay, finally.
Having said that, it started already to improve off at the beginning of Q2.
Then finally, did I catch you correct in saying that you do not anticipate increasing list prices in Russia, but you were more looking at a price improvement in euros due to the currency change?
That is correct, yes. And actually, in our report, we state that ASP in Russia decreased as a mix effect, and that had to do with the mix of between the two brands, which we have Nokian and Nordman. We have been using Nordman as a fighting tool against the Far Eastern competitors, and which means that also the pricing on that has been used as a tool, whereas Hakkapeliitta, the premium brand, we've kept as it is in ruble prices, which in euro of course means an increase.
On a full-year basis, how much of Russian volumes, as a percentage, roughly, would be going through the Nordman brand?
It's today still too difficult to anticipate. I'll comment that after the second quarter.
Okay, thank you.
This is Manu Rimpelä from Deutsche Bank. Two questions related to Russia. So first, how do you see demand in Russia developing in terms of mix now with the Nordman brand and then Hakkapeliitta? Do you expect the trade down of consumers to continue to lower brands, or do you see any kind of change there? And then second question related to the replacement market in Russia versus then the new car sales. So you mentioned that replacement market has surprised you on the upside. So could you give us an indication of the split between replacement sales and new car sales, tires if you have?
Okay, well, again, like information which we have not published, so a bit difficult, and Sasu actually already asked the first question. So you're trying again, but the if we take Nordman and Nokian, Nordman sales, as I stated, we on purpose used in order to fight the like mid-segment entries by more than anything the Japanese companies. And the volumes have, of course, increased because of that and the share of it. The way I see it at the moment is that the premium segment have not declined, and it's now starting to grow again, whereas during the crisis, the mid-segment products in pricing increased, and we've taken a bigger share of that during the beginning of this year than we traditionally have had.
If I may just continue on that, so if Japanese players have raised their prices, so that would imply lower price competition and less use for Nordman brand.
Or then increasing Nordman price.
Did you have a comment on the replacement market versus new car sales?
Yeah, there is no official statistics on that available, so I won't start commenting and guessing exactly what the ratio is today.
Kalle Karppinen, Danske Markets. Question on fixed costs. Fixed costs no longer declined in the first quarter. How do you see that going forward? Will they start to increase, and approximately at what kind of speed?
Well, fixed costs are more or less in line with what we had last year. We have more depreciation because of like some of the machinery coming to production in the Russian plant. And secondly, we have also been using more funding for marketing purposes, both in launches and in media marketing. A big part of our fixed costs relate to distribution, which means that when volume increase, automatically also warehousing and related costs increase. So they are not exactly fixed in the traditional sense of fixed cost. But the anticipation is that the guidance which we discussed previously, we had a fixed cost saving last year compared to 2008 of roughly 22 million. And I've stated in the past that roughly half of that will stick, and roughly half of the saving we made last year will come back as investment into like operations and brand building.
Jonas Bor, FIM. The gross margin was 41% in QA and Q1, and although very high, but still not as high as it was previous years. I would expect it to have been a bit higher with the Russian production, but it wasn't. Can you elaborate a bit on this, why it wasn't?
Okay, well, there are a couple of reasons, of course, for gross margin. One is you have both top line and issues and then cost issues. But I think that when looking at margin itself as gross margin, we did what we had planned for ourselves. Of course, like the costs in Russia are in rubles, and the ruble has been revalued during the beginning of the year compared to last year. So it had a slight impact also on that. But nothing dramatic as such.
Then a second question on the depreciation in euro. If we would see the euro drop very dramatically, how would it affect your business going forward?
Well, roughly, in euro, roughly 35% of our top line is in euro, not more. And also, we have costs in euro in the Finnish operation and headquarters, so I don't see that to have a big impact. Other than that, it would support ASP, as majority of our sales are in, if you take Russian ruble, Swedish crown, Norwegian crown, and the US dollar. It's a majority of the top line. So it would improve top line.
Thinking about longer in the future, how would a competitive situation in Russia evolve?
Well, it depends, of course, on how the Russian ruble develops, but production cost in Russia is significantly below Western level. And of course, having both sales and cost in ruble is a good situation for us. It's in balance.
Thank you.
Thank you. There seems to be no further questions in Helsinki, so we'll move on to the phone lines. And as I stated before, on page 28, you have instructions on what to do in order to get through.
Thank you, sir. We have a first question coming from the line of Thomas Besson. Please go ahead and ask your company name and location.
Good morning, everyone. It's Thomas Besson at Bank of America Merrill Lynch. I have four quick questions, if I may, and I'll ask them one by one. Firstly, Kim, on top-line growth, is it fair to think that your revenue growth is going to accelerate fairly strongly in the coming two or three quarters, given the move in currencies and what you've suggested about the recovery in Russian car sales?
It's possible, but we have not written it into our report. And the reason we have given a vague guidance again and not stated words like significantly or clearly have to do with the fact that there are also risk elements in the marketplace, especially in the European markets. When looking at car sales in Central Europe, which have been quite healthy, as you know well, full year estimates are not that rosy for the second half with the incentive programs disappearing. So I would say that if everything continues to improve as it has been doing during the beginning of the year, there is a possibility of having the effect which you stated. But there is also risks which we have to take into consideration. So after Q2, we'll be wiser on this point. But at
okay.
The moment, it looks quite good.
Okay. Looking at your working capital, can you comment about the health of your receivables? I mean, they've grown not as fast as your revenues, but they still look quite wide. Can you comment on whether you had to do any write-offs or whether you're absolutely 100% happy with everything that's here? And also comment on the level of inventories today?
Well, if I start first with inventories, inventory level for us as a manufacturer is too low. We have to ramp up capacity in order to be able to ship everything that we have in the order book, and we already have shortage of some like items, SUV summer tires, for instance, and some radial heavy tires are in short supply. So we have to ramp up capacity and also to build some inventory. When looking at the inventory level of distributors, in Russia, as I stated, they have started to restock and fill inventory, which is also part of the reason or the main reason for the receivable going up again. And that, of course, as a process in our business model, will continue until the end of the third quarter with receivables growing as the terms of payment and the structure are as they used to be. Inventory levels are still, despite Russia already restocking, still low, and with distributors, there is still room to improve. Distributors are still careful in Russia. They want to see that the car sales starting to properly improve before taking the full risk and adding to their inventories. On other markets in Scandinavia and also Central Europe, inventory levels for winter tires are quite low, and orders, pre-orders are on a very high level compared to previous years. And this concerns both Central Europe and also the Scandinavian market. I'm happy about the Scandinavian scene. I'm a bit questionable about the situation in Central Europe, because there is a threat that distributors overestimate on the back of a good like winter the situation and start overstocking. But time will tell. Whether I'm happy or not with the working capital, we see it's in line with our own plans.
Okay, very clear. Just to come back on Forex and the impact of Euro on your business, I mean, just want to make it clear, net-net, the evolution of ruble-euro, given the evolution of your manufacturing footprint, is positive for you?
It's positive, yes.
Okay, great. Lastly, a question on pricing, because, I mean, in your report, there are several comments leading to, let's say, competitive pricing in some of your markets. And I mean, you're the only one, Kim, to make comments of that kind against every other car maker that has reported or discussed so far. So can you be more specific? Because, I mean, given where raw materials stand, it really seems crazy for any player to lower prices.
Well, I won't start naming global tire manufacturers, brands, or names. But the fact is that during the beginning of the year, we've seen dramatic reductions in sell-in prices and rebating in the summer tire scene. For instance, on the German market, there's been quite dramatic like changes by the major players. And the price announcements they have made will just barely be enough to take back what they already lost during the beginning of the year. So I don't see that like as a very positive sign. Winter tire comments refer to the fact that our price positioning compared to our main competitors, the French one, and some like other international companies we are price leader, and the gap between us and our competitors have been quite high. Which means that as they have not been increasing prices, it's very difficult for us to do so. Fortunately, the currencies are taking care of the improvement.
Okay, thank you very much, and well done for this quarter.
Okay, thank you, Thomas.
The next questions come from the line of Eduardo Spina. Please go ahead and ask your company name and location.
Hello, good morning. This is Eduardo Spina from Morgan Stanley in London. I have a couple of questions, if I may. I start also one by one. Firstly, on Russia, I see you report a 43% growth in group sales in Russia only. I was wondering how, I guess inside of that there is a comparison with a lower basis because of destocking last year. Could you comment on the actually sell out volumes? Is this 43% growth representative of what the markets are doing, like the end markets in Russia?
Well, actually, in our text we state that it's, and I've mentioned a couple of times, that it's restocking and building of inventories for both summer and winter tires. So the sellout during the first quarter in Russia is very low. There is 1 meter of snow. Winter tires have already been sold to the major part in Q4, and summer tires are not sold. So sellout in Q1 is quite low by definition. And the sell-out will follow in Q2 for summer tires and then gradually for winter tires as we move forward.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, can we assume a sell-out in the market, your expectation could be below 10% growth this year, but very different for sell-in, perhaps?
No, the sell-out will be significantly more than 10%.
Okay.
I don't know where you got that number from.
No, we're just comparing.
Yes.
Okay, so the second one on raw materials, could you please explain why your growth of 10-12% on cost is appears lower compared to some of your competitors which point more towards 20% in 2010? Is that like a timing difference, product mix difference?
We are talking about cost and not raw material prices.
Yeah,
to give a right true answer would mean that I would know exactly what our competitors do, so take my answer as speculation. But when you are a big global company, you tend to fix and buy forward a big part of your raw materials. So it would be like hedging more or less 80 to 90% of your volumes going forward, which means that you live more or less with the global like pricing as it comes. In our case, we're a very small player, which gives us an opportunity to act on the spot market. When we see prices growing or declining, we tend to like act in the spot market, either taking in more raw material or contracting for it, or not doing. The 10 to 12% relate to the fact that we bought in quite a lot of volumes or contracted raw materials which we have been using in Q1 and will be using in Q2. And then we also already done some decisions on Q3 and Q4 and looking at the pricing that will then consolidate the numbers we've given to you. There is, of course, a headwind of raw materials during the second half of the year, which is more than the average, as we had a quite favorable situation during Q1.
Okay, I understand. Thank you very much. And the last one is a follow-up of a previous question on the pricing in European markets. You said Germany, but the question would be, is the situation changing besides the announcement from the tire companies? Like the actual selling prices, do you see them changing in Europe or still down as you previously stated?
We have seen, of course, a lot of announcements for price increases. Some of them have been already effective, and most of them will become effective during early summer. So I would say most global players, have increased prices by between 2 and 10%, depending on product group and market, and significantly in Europe and also in North America. Traditionally, you have to wait and see until the true like shipments start in order to know how much of the price increase really sticks, because traditionally there is also some changes in the terms and rebate schemes, for instance. So there is indications of improvement in the pricing scene, I believe that some of it will stick. How much, time will tell. It depends on like how the market develops and how much ice the big players have in their stomach.
Okay, sorry. Again, on this, you said that the announced price increases are barely enough to come back from the discounts. So you were thinking of something about 4 or 5%, I guess, as price declines.
For us, obviously, as I stated, a 3 to 4% ASP improvement is enough.
Okay.
But you have to remember that our like margins and profits are slightly different to our main competitors. So there is a slightly different situation for them. And also, as you stated, they have been indicating significantly higher raw material cost increases than we have.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Aurora.
We have no further questions at this time, so I hand the conference back to you.
Okay. Thank you very much for attending, and see you again later, perhaps in August when we have the next conference on this subject.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.